Hello and welcome to this podcast about the first meeting of 2019 of the International Accounting Standard Board on insurance contract. My name is Roberta Ravelli and I'm a member of the technical staff. With me today, Darrell Scott, a member of the board and one of the lead board advisors on the insurance contract project. At the January meeting, the board continued its discussion about the possible amendments to IFRS 17 to respond to the concern and implementation challenges raised by stakeholders. At the January meeting, the board decided to propose targeted improvements in three important areas of IFRS 17 accounting, like insurance acquisition cash flows, reinsurance contract held, and the recognition of the contractual service margin in profit or loss. Darrell, what is the purpose of those targeted improvements?
Okay, in talking about improvements over the last couple of months or changes to the standard over the last couple of months, we've been considering essentially what amounts to two different lines. The first objective the board has had is to see whether or not we can ease some of the implementation challenges that have been experienced by preparers as they implement IFRS 17 without resulting in a significant loss of useful information to the users of financial statements. The second element that we've been looking at is whether or not through the approach that we've taken in IFRS 17, we can find a way to address some of the concerns that have been raised by both preparers and users about the outcome of applying the model in certain circumstances. And these three topics that we discussed in January were more focused on the outcome of the model rather than on specific implementation challenges.
And Darrell, what can you tell us about the board discussion itself?
So as you mentioned, there were three topics that we picked up on: acquisition costs, reinsurance, and the allocation of CSM in the general model. I'm not going to discuss those in any particular detail because I think that the papers are there and the topics themselves are self-evident. But I thought there was some very useful discussion that happened at the board table on some of the specifics around those topics. And I think it'd be useful to pick those up in the podcast. So if I start with one of the first topics that I think was raised with the discussion around reinsurance. And as I say, not going into detail, but essentially what happens is reinsurance under IFRS 17 is catered for or has in the measurement model some exceptions to the main measurement model. Those exceptions are specifically designed to cater for a circumstance where you recognize in the income statement a loss on the underlying contract, but there is a corresponding gain in the reinsurance contract. And essentially what the exception in 17 does right now is it allows that gain to be presented at the same time in the income statement to essentially offset the two sides of the equation. The staff recommended and the board accepted that we expand that gain to cover, expand that exception to cover circumstances in which the underlying contract is onerous on initial recognition in circumstances where the reinsurance type is proportionate. Now, we had quite a long discussion at the board last week about specifically how we deal with and why we don't also include circumstances where the reinsurance contract is non-proportionate. And essentially, the discussion ranged around the fact that when there is proportionate insurance, there is a direct link between the underlying contract and the reinsurance contract. When you're dealing with non-proportionate, that direct link doesn't happen. And so what you're talking about is general movements. And the board felt that it would be arbitrary if we were to try to apply these general movements in some way to a newly written contract that was onerous. And so the board concluded that we should not extend this exception to non-proportionate contracts. So the other big discussion we had was around CSM allocation period. Right now, as it stands, CSM is allocated over the coverage period of a contract. And that means that for general model contracts, that is allocated over the insurance coverage period. Now, we had heard from some of our constituents that there are circumstances in which insurance contracts, general model insurance contracts, can also provide an investment service, and that investment service is not being properly considered in the current wording of coverage units. So this staff recommended and the board agreed that we should expand the coverage period that you consider for general model contracts to include both the insurance service period and the investment service period that falls within that contract. Now, in making that decision to expand the period, the board acknowledged that there's going to be significant judgment in two areas. Firstly, an insurance company will have to determine whether or not it has an investment service, investment return service, as we defined it in the discussion. So it has to decide whether or not that actually exists. And we have assisted a little bit in that in saying that you can only even consider that decision if you have an investment component, which is something which is identified elsewhere in the standard. So that's the first big area of judgment. Do you have this service? And the second one is to determine the weighting between this service and the other services that you're providing in the contract. Now, in the discussion that the board had, we noted that this is not a unique judgment that arises only in this circumstance. This is a part of a family or type of judgments that insurers are really going to have to be making in IFRS. So what type of insurance service are they providing, and how do they weight between the different types of insurance service? So this just expands it a little bit. But we did ask staff to consider whether or not there is additional guidance they can provide that might help preparers better target the types of outcomes they'll get to.
Okay. And Davide, which are the next steps following this January meeting?
So we've now had the October meeting, which set the tone for what we needed to discuss. We've had November, December and January, where we've considered the first groups of challenges that we need to deal with. We have more issues coming to our next meeting in February, for which the papers are already out if you're watching this immediately in the period between the two. We also expect to have more papers coming to the board to consider for the March meeting. We hope to complete our deliberations on this phase of the project by the end of the first quarter of 2019, with a view to publish an exposure draft at the end of the second quarter of 2019. At that stage, we would then have published a document that will go out as part of our due process for comment from constituents of all kinds, with a view to bringing back suggestions and thoughts about how we might proceed from that point.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, Davide, for this summary of the insurance contract discussion at the January 2019 meeting. And thank you for listening.